And if we really want to go with POL into all kinds of dramatic directions, we can just include a scene when someone, for instance, and that's what I first thought of, a Muslim or some Muslims attack a Hindu temple somewhere in West Bengal or Bangladesh or somewhere in India. And because I think I read a story about that happening not so long ago, a specific temple up there, I think it was Bangladesh, Vaishnav temple, and this young boy, they actually killed some devotees there, I think, or they just destroyed, I don't remember, but in this story it could be that. That you have this young Muslim guy, or we could switch to other religions, whatever, but I'm just using this because I got this example in my memory. Who's part of a gang and they wire themselves each other up, and now we're gonna go and show those Hindu infidels competitors. Followers of the devil, or you know, whatever. Or it could be Christians doing that to the Muslims. I mean, we just want to show the principle here. And then he ends up in the, you know, they storm in there and he storms into a room and there's a young guy, or a guy I think it should be, sitting there looking at Hare Krishna, you know, smiling. And he can't really figure out this guy coming in there because people sometimes come into the temple. But he looks like a Muslim, and then he's kind of gradually realizing what's going on here, that he's not here to pray and to, you know, whatever. So he maybe he offers him some food or something like that. Maybe sitting there eating, and I said, you know, you want something to eat? And then this man young man probably has a Kalashnikov or something, you know, something, some weapon in his hands. And they're just in there to kill all the infidels, because that's, I guess, the way some do it. I'm just trying to reflect what's actually happening. Extreme things that happen in the world today. And he just shoots that guy. And the guy is like smiling first and going, hey brother, you know, we're the same father. I'm also a servant of God. And then he shoots him. So then he stands there, and this guy doesn't die immediately. And the guy with the gun, I don't know, he could shoot again, but some or other, he gets so emotionally, he's standing there shaking, and something is very, you know, he's young also, he never shot anyone before. And I guess when you do, you go like into state of shock yourself. So then this young boy there, maybe even sits there with a girl who sits in the corner and waits for her turn or something. She's dressed in sari and he's dressed, you know, in kurta. Or he's a brahmachari, I don't know. But now he's all lying there and blood is pumping out of his chest and he's just saying, like, you know, things like, Krishna, you take care of me now, I know. Just let me serve you and help all of us to always take shelter. Something, I mean, he's struggling with the mess there in his body, which is just, you know, going to close down in a few seconds, and but hasn't yet, and he's still there, and he's like trying to speak, and you know, there's his blood coughing out of his broken lungs, and it's very hard to speak, and he's basically just trying to collect his mind and focusing it on Krishna, God, and then he dies. So then the repercussions this has on this other young Muslim guy, we can follow that. How he then realizes what he just did. That this was a man of God, just like himself. And he even tried to help him. Understand that until his last breath. So that's a real servant of God, who simply cares more about trying to help others and simply here in this world in order to help everyone here to reconnect to God. So then, I mean, we can make a story out of this. We can let this Muslim guy, this young Muslim guy, will follow him. Now he is tormented. Haunted. Not by the ghost of that other guy, but of some other monsters who are after him. Guilt and so on. So he's like running around like a fiend in the world, trying to figure out what to do, where to go, where to hide from all this, and then maybe he takes shelter of, or he goes to another country, maybe he goes to Persia or something, to Iran, and or he ends up in some little village there next to the border to India, and where you have Sufism maybe prominent, and he's then, well, I would never be able to write this, I think, because it has to be someone who really knows Sufism and in Iranian Persian culture. Anyway, so he, and then he realizes that what Rumi, for instance, says is so much like Chaitanya said and Krishna said. So he after his hell and purgatory and the usual thing, he emerges as a new kind of person who is not Muslim, not Hindu, not this, not that, because he has realized that those are just obstacles, those are just external personas and roles that we put on each other, created by our conditioning, cultural conditioning, racial conditioning, whatever, religious conditioning. So he is forced, and then that's his redemption. He comes out of all of this by the mercy of that devotee, actually, of becoming a real devotee, because a real devotee is someone who is just servant of God, who doesn't identify with any external camp or division or whatever, but as a spirit, soul, eternal servant and lover of God and everyone. So then we can follow his path there. And many, you know, several people who are like going their hero's journey in a way, in different strange ways. And we can follow lives of devotees because I think we can pick a lot of examples from there.